Well, this is my first sermon for the year, so even though it's not exactly the new year at the moment, I'm going to still preach a new year sermon. I'm going to speak to you today a little bit about resolutions, new year's resolutions. And our new year's resolutions, quite often, by this time of the year, we may have already given up on them. We may have already decided that I can't do it. We set goals really high for ourselves. We're going to do something different. We're going to change ourselves. And we realize change is hard. And it's an exercise in willpower. It's an exercise in self-control. Something that we think would be easy to control ourselves. But change is hard, as we find whenever we make these resolutions. But self-control is a very important thing for us to learn. Studies have shown that they can test kids' self-control whenever they're small, and that's a very good indicator as to their success later in life. So there's a strong relationship between self-control as a child and success later in life, and I think we could say there's a strong relationship in that in general, self-control and success. And it's hard to know whenever you look at relationships like that, is the self-control actually what brings you the success? You know, studies may not bear that out, or was there just some relationship? The children who were able to do this, control themselves, were also able to do other things that they wanted to do in their life. But one of the most popular things is bodily exercise. Getting our more exercise. That's the resolution that we see quite often. And the Bible tells us about bodily exercise in 1 Timothy 4 and 8. It says, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. So bodily exercise, he says, is profiteth little. So there is some profit to it. Getting better health, it's profit to us. But in comparison, it is a very small thing compared to godliness. So what is this godliness that we would want to exercise? Godliness is a good word study. You might want to sit down and read all the places where the godliness is mentioned in the Bible. But the same Greek word is sometimes translated as holiness. Godliness and holiness is the way this is translated. And it means to be right with God. Being right with God. We see it most often used by Paul whenever he was writing to Timothy, but we also see Peter using this word. Being right with God. It would be knowing God. It would be trusting and depending on God, being thankful to God, being obedient to God. Godliness, to me, I think of ever striving to imitate the character of God. And so, godliness is more profitable to us than bodily exercise. So as we make our New Year's resolutions, we make resolutions and we're going to resolve to do something. Resolve godliness. Make godly resolutions. And here it's being compared to exercise because we must apply ourselves to godliness. We must exercise in it in order to get its benefits. Hebrews 5 and 12 says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So he's talking about growing in godliness, to be growing as a Christian and to be stronger. And he said that they had not used it. They had not grown because they had not had this use. He said, but the ones that are of full age are those who have, by reason of use, they've exercised themselves in this godliness. But this morning, A lot of times, you know, we set a real high bar for ourselves. I'm going to do, and we go ahead and name some change we're going to make that we know is difficult for that New Year's resolution. I'm going to propose to us this morning some other resolutions. Let's be resolved about some other things other than a big, hard change, because change is hard. And usually we make our resolutions about change. This morning I want us to look at some resolutions about don't change. Be resolved to don't change, to not change. We see here in this chart that I've got up here, there's some things that are positive, and then we make these resolutions saying, I want to start this new positive thing. And there's some things that are negative, and we make these resolutions saying, I'm going to change, I'm going to stop doing this thing that's negative that I'm doing. And that's usually where our resolutions are, and those are those hard things. And so if you've got some hard resolutions, then good for you to stick to it. But let's add to these some of these easier resolutions and be just as resolved on those. Some things that says, I will not change. I will not change, and I will not start something negative. And I will not stop on something positive. Those are just as important to be resolved to don't change. But we focus on the things that we want to change so many times in these resolutions. So let's take a moment to look at the don't stop category. The positive things. The things that you're already doing that are right. Don't stop those. Be resolved this year that I will not stop doing these things. I will not regret. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to start reading verse 54 here and read several verses. He says, he's talking about the end of this time and the end of life. And he says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So the encouragement to them, and the encouragement we can take for us, to be steadfast, to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast, that means you don't change. Unmovable, you hold to that position, that right position. Hold on to the things that are right, and be resolved in those things. And then being resolved to continue in the good things that you're already doing, you'll find the greatest strength to add and to grow. For by reason of use, you will grow and become a mature Christian. You continue, and you'll find the greatest strength in there to grow and find yourself doing more without the big change that, or big resolution to change. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and 15, he says, therefore, brothers, stand fast, hold to the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. So again, we see, before he said, be steadfast and unmovable. Now we see this instruction to stand fast and to hold the traditions which ye have been taught. Now, something that we want to notice here, he said, the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle, it's important, the traditions that we hold on to. We're not talking about preserving traditions for tradition's sake. You know, sometimes we'll come down on one side or the other of this change thing. Sometimes we're in the right frame of mind and we're just ready for change, whatever it takes. It doesn't matter what changes, we're ready for change. But then other times we're in the other mindset of, I don't want anything to change. I don't like change. And it doesn't matter what the change is, I don't like change. And so we could hold to those types of ideas as to change. But it's not about holding to change just for change's sake, or holding to tradition and not changing just for tradition's sake. But it's important that it be the traditions that you've been taught by word or epistle, the instructions of God. We know the story of Jesus in Matthew. I'll read this in Matthew chapter 15 and verse. Start reading here with verse 1. Matthew chapter 15, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." So they're asking him about these traditions of the elders. Verse 3, "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift by which thou mightest be profited by me, and honored not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandment of men." So when we're making our resolve and taking our stand on our being steadfast on our traditions, they must be the tradition, the commandments of God, not just the traditions of men. If we're going to hold on to something and it be profitable to us, it needs to be hold on to and stand steadfast in the commandments of God, not just holding on to traditions for tradition's sake. We've always done things this way. But hold on to the commandments of God. So what are some of these things? Let's look at some things that we need to continue in. I didn't have all my scriptures up here on the board, but I've got this next one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to spend a good bit of time here at this scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We will start reading back at verse 12, and then verse 16 and is where we'll actually dig into it more. But verse 12, to get the context and see how that we're giving instructions as Christians as to how that we are to behave. Verse 12 says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." So here he's saying, ever follow that which is good. We start seeing a hint of here this everness, the continuance, the steadfast, the things that we want to hold on to, those things that are good. Now let's look at verse 16. He says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. For the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called of you, who also will do it. Brothers, pray for us. So now I'm going to leave these verses up here, and we'll go back through these in more detail and see some things that we want to make resolutions to not stop, to hold on to. First one, let's look here in this verse 16. He says, rejoice evermore. Evermore. That means we need a resolution to not stop rejoicing. Don't stop rejoicing. Hold on to that. Be resolved to rejoice evermore. And this is the same instruction that we get from Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The joy of a Christian is always. We always can rejoice. We may get discouraged about other things in life. We may have problems and other things that bother us and discourage us. But when we look at our Christian joy, we can always rejoice in the Lord. Those things won't fade away. Rejoice in God's character. It won't change. We can always rejoice in the character of God. We can rejoice in God's wonderful works and His love that He's shown toward us. It won't change. We can hold steadfast to that. Something we can always do and always rejoice in. Rejoice in God's assurances of a better life after this. We have assurances and we can hold on to those things of life beyond this life. Whenever we have problems, whenever we have difficulties in this life, we can look to a better life. And this is a happiness that we can always have because God is always these same things. He's always the same. And so that's why we rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse 17. Another thing for us to have a resolution over. He says, pray without ceasing. Without ceasing. Don't stop. That's what he says. So that means we need to have a resolution to don't stop praying. Don't stop. Again, like we said before, God is always the same. God is always there. We should not stop going to Him with our problems, with the issues of this life. Good things or problems, both good and bad, share them in prayer. Share them with God. Make a resolution to not stop praying. And as resolutions are, they are so focused on our willpower. Our willpower will be strengthened when we go to God in prayer. When we continue in prayer, we will be strengthened for our will. And when we go in prayer, we'll take our will and compare it with what God's will is for us. And see what is in God's will, and see if the things that we are desiring are in accordance with God's will. That's a good thing for prayer. That's something to do in prayer. Consider whether or not we have the right things that we're holding on to, the right changes that we're looking for. Whether these things are good things. Let's look in verse 18. He says, in everything give thanks. This means a resolution to not stop giving thanks. Don't stop being thankful. In everything give thanks. So we should be thankful. Particularly, we should be thankful to God. So that no matter what may come in this life, just like our rejoicing in God that we were talking about, we can always be thankful to God. We can always give Him thanks. For just like in our rejoicing of His character, God has not changed. God's goodness to us is still there, and we can still be thankful for it. And it's more than just we can be thankful for it. Notice this verse. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's not just that we can be thankful to God. It's His will. It's His will for us to always be thankful to Him. Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish I knew God's will for me? Well, here we have it revealed to us. We have us told, this is God's will for us, to always be thankful. So make a resolution to always be thankful. And to not lose the things that you're thankful about. Don't forget. And that can be our resolution. To not forget the things that we are thankful to God for. Sometimes God comes to us and we can feel that we were blessed by Him. We have these times when we know that we've sinned and we realize His forgiveness. And we're so thankful for it. But over time we forget. And sometimes we're studying God's Word and we realize His marvelous nature and we're so thankful for it. But over time, we forget. And so make a resolution that we won't forget and that we won't lose our thankfulness, but that we will always give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Now let's look at verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. So what does this mean? We see a not in here, so it's something that we're going to want to not do. But this means another resolution to don't stop. We probably don't use this word a whole lot, to quench. We hear it some now with quenching the thirst. But what does it mean? We read of it many times in the Bible. And so I went through and looked at the different ways in the Bible that this word quench is used. It's used of a coal. Quench a coal means to put the fire to an end. Put it to a stop. Stop that last little bit of a coal that was burning from the fire. Quench the coal to put it out. We read in the Bible, quench not the light. This means don't put out the light. So don't put it out. And we read in the Bible, quench the thirst. Which means to give a drink, to put an end to the thirst. Quench the thirst. And we read in the Bible of a love that cannot be quenched. This means cannot be stopped, cannot bring an end to this love. A fire that cannot be quenched means it cannot be put out. So most often we see that this word quenched is used in reference to putting out a fire. And so here he says, quench not the Spirit. Don't put out the fire of the Spirit. So I think this fire he's referring to is the influence of God's Spirit working in our lives. That it would be like a fire to take on more and more. A fire that needs to be fed so that it would continue to burn. But don't quench it, he says. If we are disobedient to the will of God, if we refuse His plan, we refuse to do the things that He would have us to do, then we are holding back and we're quenching the fire. We're not allowing it to grow and to take over our lives. You're stopping His plan. You're resisting. That's the quenching of the fire. That's part of it, I think. Quench not. So be resolved to not hold back, not to do the things to pull back away that would quench the fire, the Spirit of God in us. Make a resolution to grow in our spirit like a fire and to let it grow like a fire and not to put it out. In Revelation, we read there about, he was talking to the different churches. He said of this one, he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. They stopped what they once had. Their zeal. They stopped their zeal. Don't quench that zeal. Don't put it out. Don't stop your zeal towards God. And also look in verse 20. Despise not prophesying. This means to don't stop. It means we should have a resolution to don't stop receiving instruction, but continue to have an open heart. So listen to the instructions, to godly prophesying, to godly teaching. Listen to sermons and value it. Value godly instruction. And study our Bibles. Don't stop with just a little bit, but continue to dig deeper in our Bibles to have a better understanding. Despise not prophesying. And then he says, hold fast to that which is good. So that's the holding fast. That's exactly what we're talking about this morning with one of our resolutions, is to hold fast, one of those categories, hold fast to those things that are good. Don't stop doing what you have that's good, what you're doing that's good. Hold on to those things. And then verse 22 goes on, goes kind of with holding fast to those things which are good. And it'll lead us into our next context about don't start, our next category of resolutions, to don't start things that are negative. Don't start those evil things. He says, abstain from all appearances of evil. And too often, we quench the Spirit. We put out that fire that would grow in us, because instead of letting us grow more as Christians and be more of like Christ and to do more of God's will, we are instead looking at the question of how close can I come to the boundaries of sin? What is it exactly that I can't do, and just trying to get how close, where is it that we want to cross? And so instead of growing away from sin and growing more in the will of God, we're trying to figure out the boundaries of sin, and we end up with this appearance of evil, and we get so close, we push those boundaries back, that we end up ourselves covered in the appearance of evil. We end up on the wrong side because we were trying to see how close we could get to it instead of staying away from sin. So let's be resolved to don't start. Let's look at some resolutions in the don't start category. Don't start something. If you don't start a bad habit, you won't have to later make that hard resolution to get rid of a bad habit. Change is hard. So don't start something you will need to change later. And just like starting something new requires a plan of action, avoiding some bad thing, those bad things, also we should have a plan of action. We need to already have our resolution in place. And so then we will be prepared when we have temptations come to us. When those testing times come to us, we will already have a resolution. That will make us more prepared. And then we'll just need to follow our resolution, follow through on our plan of action. Being resolved to not start is part of being prepared. We know the story in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus goes there to pray before they come and take him away, before they arrest him and carry him off to all those judgment halls, and he ends up hanging on a cross there. And he goes and he prays. We know the prayer in Gethsemane about how drink great drops of blood fall from him as from sweat, as if it were blood. But in this story, we see something of Peter also. You see the story there of how that Peter was there to come with him, and he says to watch and pray. In verse 26, in verse chapter 26 of Matthew, verse 41, he says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That last part is, I guess, the way we end up feeling a lot of times with our New Year's resolution. Our spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. We make these resolutions, we say that's our will, this is what we want to do, but then following through on it. But here, Peter is told two things that he's to do: to watch and to pray. This is being prepared, preparing for the temptation. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So we need to do these things to be prepared. We need to watch and pray. Watch means to be on the lookout. And if we're going to be on the lookout, that means that we need to have our eyes open. It means that we need to know what we're looking for. We don't go to sleep when we need to have our eyes open and be watching, and we need to know what we're looking for. We need to have a knowledge of the tricks and the things that would come and tempt us away. Knowledge of the way that the tempter works. We can find that by reading in our Bibles and seeing how that others have fallen. We can see that in examples of others, of mistakes that people make. And also we need to pray, watch and pray. Spend time with God, preparing for the challenges before us. And we will be ready. Watch and pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to read some verses here. Three verses, 11, 12, and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Start reading with verse 11. He says, "Now all these things," now he's talking about the things that's happened before, the example of the Jews in the wilderness and the dealings with God and how that men fell and all of those things that are recorded for us now. He says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So this last time, he's talking about us. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall." So here's a warning to us. He talks about these examples that I was talking about, the watching and knowing what we're watching for. But he says, "Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall." We're to watch, to be careful. He says, "There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So being prepared. We need to be prepared so that we don't for temptation, so that we don't start those things in the evil category. Another thing that will help us is for us to realize and to know the consequences of sin. Being resolved not to be a servant of sin. For we know that it brings death. We know that it has consequences. Romans 6 and 13 says, "What then, shall we continue in sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." And so we prepare ourselves, we prepare our minds and our hearts in prayer and watching, so that we won't be tempted, and we won't start a new sin, and get into tangled and trapped in a new sin. James chapter 1 verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So don't start. Go up. Don't get yourself way into sin, but we can start by stopping it at the beginning. Don't begin with the lust. Don't let the lust grow. He says that that's when we're drawn away from God, and that's when we're tempted, when our own lust and entices us. And then when those lust is conceived, it brings sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings death. So that's my encouragement for you this morning as you look at resolutions. Let's be resolved. Be steadfast. Be resolved to not start things that we will later end up creating bad habits of in ourselves that we'll have to stop. And this morning, as always, we want to extend an invitation through this song as we sing an invitation song, so that if you need to come and request the prayers of the church, or if you need to come and to be baptized, we extend this invitation while we stand and sing.